This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome back to another episode of the 99 Names. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and I'm here with Omar Shukri.
We have done probably 25 episodes, and I think that was the lowest energy Bilal has ever started off with.
You want to do it again? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of the 99 Names. I am your host, Bilal Khan.
Hey, much better. And I am Omar Shukri, aka Mr. Energizer Bunny. And I'm being paired up with this guy over here.
Yep.
We've been going over a lot of the names of Allah, and we're getting close to the finale, inshallah. But right now, we are going over the name Al-Aziz.
Al-Aziz.
And then Al-Aziz is the name that's mentioned a lot of times in the Quran. 92 times to be exact.
Cool. 92 times in the Quran.
Yes.
What about
now,
in Hadith?
When you think of the names of Allah... Mm. I don't know how many times it's mentioned in the hadith, but in the Quran, it's 92. The interesting thing about it is you get a little bit of perspective when you see that some names, like As-Samad, for example, is mentioned once.
Okay.
Some names like Al-Qayyum are
really
mentioned.
Just once?
Yes. As-Samad is just in Surat.
Ikhlas.
Yes. Very good. Surat Qul Hu Allahu Ahad. In fact, Al-Ahad is just mentioned in Surat Al-Ikhlas also. Al-Qayyum is mentioned 3 times in the Quran.
Al-Ghalib is mentioned once.
Al-Ghalib? Al-Ghalib is in the
Yusuf?
Name. Al-Ghalib is in the name.
I mean, it's an attribute, maybe.
I mean, yes, Allah overpowers everyone, but it being a name, I don't know of it being a name.
Okay.
But the idea is that, you know, names are mentioned 3, 5, 20, 30. So when you come across something that's mentioned over 90 times, that's like you're in the... Really, really, really.
It's got to be important.
Yes, okay. It's being mentioned a lot. Like even Al-Alim, which we said is the name that's the most often cited after Allah.
Yep.
You're talking about 150. So 90-something is really, really high. Al-Aziz is paired with a lot of different names. It's paired with Al-Alim. So Al-Aziz Al-Alim.
Okay.
Al-Aziz Al-Hakim is paired a lot in the Quran. So Al-Aziz means the mighty. Strong.
Okay. The mighty and the strong.
Yes. Al-Hakim is the wise. So why do you think Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim are paired together a lot?
Now, does the mighty and the strong have something to do with... Because when you think about Aziz as in a human context, you think of somebody who has a position or authority in governance.
Mm-hmm.
So is that... When you say mighty and strong, you're talking about governance? You talk about...
In everything.
Okay.
Allah is powerful and the mighty in everything.
Okay.
And not only that, but He gives it to whomever He wishes. He gives this concept of izzah.
Okay.
Power, strength.
Honor.
Honor.
Oh, like the honorable judge so-and-so, right? And so the fact that it still goes into the whole...
Power thing?
Yeah.
Authority?
Yeah. Mighty, honor, strong, honor, gives honor.
Now we say...
Okay.
The absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When a person is given absolute power, they become corrupted all the time.
You know, it's interesting.
But Allah being Al-Aziz Al-Hakim,
yeah,
Hikmah is defined as the opposite of Dhulm.
Yeah.
Because Dhulm is placing something where it doesn't belong. That's Dhulm. It's oppression.
Okay.
And Hikmah... It's okay. I know it's a wasp or whatever it is, but your face became paralyzed for a second.
Oh, it's a dragonfly. Never mind.
Okay. I'm like, why did Bilal, like all of the blood drain from his face? It's like a wasp or a bee or whatever.
Turns out it's just a dragonfly.
Yeah. And even if it was a wasp or a bee, it wouldn't have done anything.
No, if it's a wasp or a bee, I would have just become a statue. And I wouldn't have moved waiting for it to
In Sudan
pass
we
by.
Say Al Asghar minnak dusu. Basically means if it's smaller than you, squash it. Like, who's bigger, you or the wasp? Or
yeah,
you or
but the, in the process of trying to squash it, you might get a few weeks of unnecessary, unwanted, undesired pain okay. as a result of the fight that the wasp or the little thing put up.
Okay. Cool. So the idea here is that hikmah yeah. is anything that is...
Hikmah is not knowing that you shouldn't sometimes squash something because it can hurt you.
So dhulm is putting something where it doesn't belong. And okay. hikmah is defined also, which is wisdom, translated as wisdom,
yeah.
is putting things in their appropriate places.
Okay.
Hikmah is measuring everything appropriately. That's what wisdom is, that you measure everything appropriately.
Precision.
Precision. You just know where when to pull, when to let loose, when to move, when to not, what to say, when to say it. That's hikmah. Dhulm is to put things in their wrong places.
Okay. Okay.
You give someone a responsibility that they don't deserve. You've oppressed them. And you've oppressed everybody else who's now going to suffer because of that. So the idea here is that Allah is Al-Aziz and He's Al-Hakim. And so Allah's might is uncontested. His power is absolute. But He doesn't have the human deficiency where we become corrupted by power.
Yeah.
Allah is Al-Hakim even as He's Al-Aziz.
You know, this was a thesis of Batman vs. Superman, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, because if you go back to the original theme, although it's trying to do a lot of things at the same time, but you know the line where Lex Luthor is facing up against Superman, and he basically tells him, okay, there's no way that something could be all good and still be, and be all powerful, or something could be all powerful and all good, and I'm here to test that theory, and I'm going to see, because I don't believe you're either all powerful, but then you can't be all good. Or you're all good, but then you can't be all powerful.
And so Allah Azza wa Jal is all powerful and all good. I don't know about Superman, but Allah is
right. Well, that's why Superman should have broken, and he should have tried to kill Lex Luthor and all these other people. But
did he?
Unfortunately, Superman dies trying to kill Doomsday, which was a stupid addition to the movie.
Listen, man, don't contaminate all of this with your DC universe. That's very, very sad. So we come now to... We come now to the last issue with regards to this concept of Al-Aziz, Allah being the mighty and the strong, and that is that Allah is the source of Izzah.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm.
Allah is the source of Izzah and His Prophet and His Messenger. The Munafiqeen. So we have a lot of different verses. Like I mentioned, it's mentioned so many times in the Quran. Is Izzah
in something that's defined by more than just honor?
Yes.
Okay.
The general rule is anytime these names and these words are so layered,
yeah,
so deep, when they get translated into one word, so like we said, one of the meanings of Izzah is power.
Yeah.
Honor doesn't carry that connotation.
No, it doesn't.
Right? So one of the meanings of Izzah is dignity.
Yeah.
So it's related prestige. To honor. Yes.
Okay.
However, it also definitely has the connotation of physical strength.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, تُؤْتِ الْعِزَّةَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah says, اللهم مالك الملك. Oh Allah, the owner of the dominion. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give the dominion to whom you wish. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ يَشَاءُ. And you take it away from whom you wish.
Yeah.
وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give honor and power and might to whoever you wish. And you subdue and you humiliate whoever you wish.
Okay.
So the first lesson we learn here is that...
So Izzah is the opposite of humiliation.
Of dhul, yes.
Dhul, okay.
Now, the idea here is that you seek Izzah from Allah.
Okay.
We in general say our ummah is in a time of dhul. It is oppressed. It is disrespected, it is abused, it is no one really cares about us. That's because
they don't care about each other.
Well, that's fine. All of that is part of dhul, all of it together.
Okay.
However, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who grants izzah. And so a person seeks it out. And that was the lesson that we learned from Umar ibn Khattab. Umar, when he was, when Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem had been
conquered.
Or opened, or surrendered to the Muslims, basically.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to surrender, but you have to send us your leader.
Yeah.
We have a description that we have. You have to send us your leader. And so Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'm going to come. If that's going to avoid all of the bloodshed and all of that, then I'll come. And so he took the journey. And when he arrived, him and his servant were taking turns riding a particular animal. And that was it. That's all they had that's all they were using. They didn't even take two riding animals together. They just took one and they took turns. It was the servant's turn. I wonder
how long that journey must have taken.
It's at least a month. At least.
Like those soldiers must have camped out there for...
At least a month. I mean, even when the Prophet ﷺ said he went on al-Isra al-Mi'raj, they were laughing at him. They said, you know, Jerusalem takes us a month's journey.
Okay.
It's a month going and a month coming back, and you're saying you did it in
so
one
2
night.
Months he was gone from governance.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine a president taking a 2-month break?
He's not taking a 2-month break. He's journeying there, and he has a deputy and all of that type
of
stuff.
No, but like he himself
is not. Keep in mind that all of that is why, because they put a condition to surrender.
Yeah.
And they said, we want your leader. And that shows you that, you know, human life was not insignificant to the Muslims. In fact, it was incredibly significant. And if they could open up a city in a way where no lives are lost, then that was the prerogative. And so Umar radiallahu anhu takes that journey, and Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, who was his general, meets Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar is, you know, very, very basic clothing. You know, you're talking about patches and just unimpressive. And so Abu Ubaid says to him, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, these are people who really respect, you know, their leaders to look a particular way.
Yeah.
And so Umar radiallahu anhu says, I wish someone other than you, Abu Ubaid, had said that. And then he said his famous statement. He says, "Kunna, we were a people who were adilla," meaning the Arabs. We were a humiliated people.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about us. Nobody was concerned about us. فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah gave us izzah through Islam. Power, prestige, might. We were able to subdue the superpowers of the world. All of that through what? Through Islam.
Yeah.
And so if we seek izzah in other than that, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is going to make us have dhul again. We are going to be humiliated again. So the lesson here is that whoever is seeking power and might and establishment on the earth, as well as dignity and honor, that they seek it through Islam and
through it's more Allah. So the idea of al-Aziz, it's more so maintaining a particular mindset.
These names that are talking about Allah's power, they are supposed to create a particular mindset. They're supposed to make a believer insubduable, if that's a word.
Insubduable.
Unsubduable.
Okay.
They are supposed to make a believer someone who cannot be conquered.
You know, it reminds me of one of the best books written on the subject of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is titled Submit Anyone.
Submit Anyone.
Yeah.
And the believer doesn't submit except to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. You know, we are a people who love death as much as you love life. We are a people who are between the two good things. Martyrdom or paradise. It's like, how do you defeat a people like that? And so this is this concept of Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Qahhar, Allah is al-Aziz, Allah is al-Jabbar, Allah is al-Mateen, Allah is this and this and this and this. And so if a person believes and knows that all of that is behind him, then who is he to fear? And so anyway, we come back to the one of the greatest ways for a person to receive izzah is to forgive people.
Forgive people?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in Sahih Muslim,
so letting things go.
مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. He says, Allah does not increase a person who forgives in anything except for izzah, except for anything except in their honor. And to recognize that all izzah belongs to Allah, because the munafiqeen in Surah Al-Munafiqeen or Surah Al-Munafiqun, Abdullah ibn Ubay and his group of hypocrites, after a campaign when they're returning back to Medina, they said, لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى مَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنَهَا الْأَذَلُ. They said, when we return back to Medina, the ones who have izzah of us, the noble, the best of us, the dignified of us, meaning themselves, are going to expel al-adhal. It's going to expel the Prophet and his companions and the lowly ones.
They were saying this.
Yeah, they were saying that.
Okay.
And so Allah Azza wa Jal, he responded, he quoted them in the Quran, and he says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He says, to Allah belong all izzah, and to his messenger and to the believers. Those are the ones who have izzah. But the hypocrites, they don't know. They don't understand. And This verse is powerful.
This is when, though? This is
in Medina.
Okay, in Medina.
The idea here is that...
This is when they're plotting against them.
They're plotting against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're coming back from a campaign, and they're like, when we return back to Medina, we're going to expel the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of that. However, Allah is saying it all belongs to the believers. And so now, we just fast forward 1400 years later, and you see how much izzah the believers have. We're naming our kids after them. We're saying radiyallahu anhum. We believe in their righteousness. We test. They were people who changed the world.
Yeah.
And then when we mentioned the munafiqun, right?
We don't even know their names.
We don't even know their names. Or we say, may Allah's curse be upon them. Or they're completely belittled. And this is a lesson for every person who thinks that they can take advantage of Islam in any current climate, in any particular time and place, because they think that by attacking Islam that they will get izzah. But Allah says, that izzah belongs to Allah and His Messenger, the believers, but the hypocrites, they never.
Here's a question, though. What do you say to one of the common conversations that's taking place now, especially in the activist circles, is the idea of reforming Islam? Mm-hmm. Like, is it Islam that needs reforming in this situation? Because we're talking about izzah, we're talking about honor. Like, why would anyone bring up that subject of reforming Islam? Or is it more so about, let's look a deeper look at the current issues that maybe hasn't been addressed on a legal facet?
Well, that's the idea, right? Is that what are you talking about when you talk about reforming Islam?
Yeah.
Some people, when they talk about reforming Islam, they're talking about separating Islam from particular cultures. Some people, when they're talking about reforming Islam, they talk about trying to bend over backwards to make Islam palatable, or not even just palatable, but acceptable to a particular culture that they live in. And so Imam Malik has a beautiful statement, and he says, nothing will rectify the end of this ummah except what rectified the beginning of it. The only thing that will rectify the end of the ummah, and he's talking about his generation, is what rectified the beginning. And it's found to be true. At the end of the day, there's nothing that's going to rectify this generation except what rectified the first generation.
And what is that?
And that is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and holding on to it sincerely and submitting to it, and not submitting to our desires, and not submitting to the things that we want.
Okay.
And so going from there, and then anything else, when we're talking about reform, you have to look at it's not about the terminology, because we can't have a discussion about terminologies, because the terminologies mean different things to different people.
Yeah.
But what we can talk about is what's the reality. What do you mean when you say reform Islam? What do you want to reform? Do you want to reform the pillars of the religion? That's not up for reform.
Yeah. It's not enough for modification.
Yeah. Do you want to reform, do you want to do something where like you have Salatul Jum'ah on Saturdays? Because some reform groups do that. They have,
really?
Yes.
An actual thing.
Yes, that's an actual thing.
Because I thought there was a joke one time where, this is like in the early days, like we're talking like in the late 80s. And there was a complaint about somebody who came from overseas to America, and they saw more people at the masjid on Sunday because of like Sunday school and things like that, because that's convenient. And they went back saying like these American Muslims are deviated. They do Jummah on Sunday.
Yeah. No, this is like, literal thing.
Yeah.
Having Jummah on Saturdays because it's more convenient for people and things like that. So, I mean, that's something that's rejected. And so when you talk about reform, what is the issue that we're discussing?
What would be appropriate to discuss in regards to reform? Things that haven't been established as a precedent, perhaps?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure. Things that haven't been established as a precedent.
New issues. Contemporary issues.
But then you wouldn't call that reform because it's new.
Yeah, it's not reformation. It's what's the term for new? It's establishment.
Contemporary issues. They call it contemporary issues.
So, but then is there anything that is really up for quote unquote reform, or is it more so about looking at the, cause what I would understand as potential reform, is like, post-colonial reaction to the way that Islam is followed in certain parts of the world.
And that's the reason why I have the hesitation with regards to calling anything Islamic reform.
Okay.
Because that's the exact point. It's like, what are you going to reform about Islam?
Right. Because, it's one thing to look at the reason for codification of certain things in a particular type part of the world at a certain time. But then, times change and peoples change and the circumstances change. So those particular codifications of rules that were implemented might not necessarily apply in a different part of the world, in a different time, within different circumstances. Is that fair to say? And in that case, you might want to, or people of knowledge may want to revisit some rules in that regard.
So something, for example, that people discuss currently is the issue of alimony.
Okay.
Right. So, for example, in Islam, a woman historically was always under the care of
another man. Yeah.
In whatever scenario, she was either taken care of by her father.
Yeah.
She gets married, she's taken care of by her husband.
Yeah.
They get divorced, she goes back to her family.
Yeah.
And they have that system set up. Now you have scenarios where a husband is marrying a wife, taking her halfway across the world. They live for 40 years in a particular country, separate from her family, separate from everything, really. And then he makes a lot of money. And then 30 years later, she doesn't have any skills or whatever because she's been taking care of the kids and she hasn't needed to work and all of that. And then he divorces her. And he says, you know, what was your mahar? I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And your alimony for 3 months or what have you, I'll give you that for 3 months. That's what Islam says. Okay, assalamu alaikum.
But they take it literally, not in essence of what it was intended for.
And so here,
yeah,
right, that's literally what, but is that something that, you know, can't be looked into now? Because it's obvious that's an incredible hardship on that woman that's being placed, and that's not what Islam intended. And so now you're looking at, you know, scholars are looking at what can be done and what can be reformed, so to speak, about this particular concept.
Okay.
Right? And so in these types of things where the lifestyle has changed so drastically, where you have to revisit the text and revisit the statements of the scholars and the conclusions of the madhahib at whatever stage and try to find the intent of the legislation,
okay,
with regards to this particular issue.
So it's basically, when it comes to quote unquote reform, we're talking about policy.
Okay,
because that's what it is. It's legislation, right? It's a particular law put into place.
But again, a lot of times when people are talking about reform, and that's the reason why it's hard to just make a judgment about this topic, because a lot of people, when they're talking about reform, they're talking about theological positions.
Oh.
They're talking about sin and what is sin and what is considered to be sin.
So you go into the whole realm of philosophy. What does it mean to be?
What is good and what isn't?
Yeah.
Right? Just because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or Allah said something about something 1400 years ago in that context, in that society, but we live in a society where those values have now changed.
Yeah.
We need to reform. Right? And that's really where the contention lies with a term like that.
Got it. So going back to the whole thing, the idea of al-Aziz has to be with the reality that if we're even thinking about this idea of reformation, it's not about Islam being reformed.
It's about you reforming yourself.
Yes. What's the ayah?
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ
Surah Al-Ra'd,
Allah does not change the conditions of a people until they change what's within themselves.
And so if you want honor, you want change, you want dignity, you want to be upgraded, then the key thing is to start look within.
Yes. Inshallah. طيب, صلى الله عليه وسلم, محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, وسلم كثيرا.